At a rebel base in Liberia during the civil war there, three wives of a commanding officer sit around their dilapidated shelter.
How long you been here for?
Long time.
Long, long time. They no let me go after the First World War. They've been keeping me for years.
Since you was how old?
Huh? Young.
10 years? 12 years? 15 years? What?
10 years.
And how many years you got now?
Lots of them.
What? What that mean?
It means she old. If she know how many years she got, she would have told you a long time ago.
Helena, Bessie, and the new girl are characters in Danai Gurira's new play, Eclipsed, which premiered this week at the Woolly Mammoth Theater here in Washington, D.C. Miss Gurira, who's also an actress, was born in the U.S., but raised in Zimbabwe, where her parents are from. She'd never been to Liberia before heading there in 2007 to research this play. She joins me now in the studio. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
I understand that it was a photograph that inspired this play.
Yes, I was in my final year of grad school at NYU, in acting, actually. And my professor, who knew that I was very passionate about telling African women's stories, gave me a New York Times that had a picture of Black Diamond and her female rebel fighting unit.
She was a rebel fighter herself.
She was, and she became very well known, so somewhat, in the Western press in 2003. And I had never come across anything on about the war and the rebel factions. I didn't know anything about women fighters in African wars. I was from a very different part of the continent. And just to see these women standing there, you know, in their jeans and, you know, fashionable tops, and their hair is all done, and they're all carrying AK-47s, was just an image I couldn't get out of my head. And I knew one day I'd have to try and get behind those eyes and try and tell their story.
Well, your story actually includes four wives of this rebel commander. In the first scene we just heard, we hear from Helena, who is wife number one. She's in charge. Bessie is wife number three. She's pregnant by this commander. The new girl has just arrived. Wife number two, tell us about her.
Wife number two is definitely a manifestation or a personhood that talks about the issues of turning into a rebel fighter. It really, the whole play really grapples with choices that different women make in a terrain that is void of real choices and a terrain that's not of their making.
They have been captured. They
yes,
are being held by this
all
commander.
Abductees.
They're essentially sex slaves.
Essentially. And that was a very real experience for many Liberian women during the conflict.
And wife number two has decided to kind of better herself by picking up a gun.
Yeah, I mean, there are many different reasons why women became rebel fighters. And honestly, if I were faced with those choices, I figure I might have become one myself. I think it's all about geography, and I think that's something I'm trying to pick at, is that the only thing that differs us from them is geography. I truly believe that.
Now, these women are actually based on real people that you met when you went to Liberia to research. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, no one can point to that, to a person on that stage, and say, that's specifically so-and-so. It's really a combination of different aspects of the research.
And did you actually go and meet with people who had been held and married to rebel commanders? And
Yes. I met many women who, I did several interviews with women who had been captured, who were held for many years, who were rebel officers, quote unquote, wives. Yeah, I met many women who'd been through that.
Was it hard to get them to
talk? Well, actually, I had a lot of help. There was a woman who somewhat inspired the other character in the play, Rita, who was really a mover and shaker.
This is the peace activist?
Yeah. She's really a mover and shaker in Liberia, and she and me, we just really hit it off. And so she connected me with women who I could interview who'd been through the war and been through really harrowing experiences. And some of them actually, you know, because I would always say at the end of it, like, is there anything you want to know of me or ask of me or anything? And some of them would say, thank you. I've never had the opportunity to speak about what happened to me. No one's ever asked me. And that always really got me.
Tell me more about the character Rita. She's a peace activist. She enters in about midway through the play, and she kind of shakes things up for these women.
Yeah. When I got to Liberia, I'd done a lot of research before I got there, but I had not come across anything about this large women's peace movement.
And they're Liberian. They're not Westerners, or is it a mix?
No, they're Liberian. Liberian women who were fed up with what was happening to themselves, to their children, to their generation. And they said, we have to do something about it because, as they say in Pray the Devil Back to Hell, which is now a famous documentary about these women, you know, as she said, you know, men either by commission or omission were guilty of a lot of what was happening. So it was very much a women's peace movement that did amazing things to and courageous things, going and talking to these men, these warlords in many different circumstances, situations, going into the bush, having them to come to their house and talking them down and getting them to put down their guns and doing getting amazing things done. And they were so relentless in that. And I met women who would tell me about how they would just walk into the bush and talk rebel soldiers out of their guns and encourage them to look at school and to think about their future because their identities had been snatched away from them because of the vicious nature of what was occurring during their youth.
And why did they think that they were able to do that? I mean, was it just the force of their attitude? Because it must have been frightening. And why would these rebel guys listen to them?
I know. It's amazing. And I asked this one lady who's quite featured in the Pray the Devil Back to Hell, who was the woman who first inspired me. I knew I had to write Rita into the story once I met her. And I asked her, I said, how in the world did you do that? She said, we just didn't think about it. If we thought about it too hard, we probably would have been paralyzed with fear. But we just didn't think about it. We just did it. And I was amazed. I mean, they were really fearless. And as a result, there was something that is even said by some of these warlords when these women organized meetings when they would bring the warlords together to try and negotiate with them. And they'd say, you know, when your mother calls, you must answer. So these women started to become these figures.
The mother
that they, you know, they'd been so disconnected from familial understanding.
Mm-hmm. That's the theme of your play here. People are really, they've been torn away from their families. They've almost lost their identity.
Yes, and that's something I kept coming across even though it was 5 years later, I kept coming across that as a story of people being torn away from each other, being having to run, that theme of having to run, being completely displaced.
The real life story of Liberia's Civil War seems to, at this point, I mean, have something of a happy ending. We have Charles Taylor, the former president, on trial for war crimes now. We have Ellen Johnson Sirleaf elected as the continent's only female head of state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does it make you hopeful?
It does. And even the women in this play make me hopeful in many ways. They go through harrowing things, but they retain their humanity. They retain their agency. They retain their desire to move forward. So absolutely, the culmination of what these women have done for it to result in Ellen, you know, being the president right now, it's amazing. And you can see it through what the peace women did. You can see it through how women who went through awful experiences still wanted to go forward and to go back to school and to learn things that they'd been stripped from childhood.
You grew up in Zimbabwe, the other side of the continent, as
right.
You've pointed out. It used to be one of Africa's success stories, and in recent years, we've really watched it just collapse. It's in a crisis situation right now. I understand that this is the subject of your next play.
Well, my next play, I don't think it's quite quoted well in my bio. It's more, we're really just looking at what the voices of Zimbabweans are saying. That's the key thing I'm doing for the next piece, is the diaspora. There's a massive diaspora. You know, what their thoughts are about being here, being in Europe, being in South Africa. You know, there's this whole thing that goes along with being a Zimbabwean outside of Zimbabwe. And really let that voice be heard and really explore it. And I'm not sure what this play is going to look like. I'm working on it with a fellow Zimbabwean who's based in London. We're not sure what it's going to look like. We're doing interviews. We're talking to people. We're talking to people from every aspect, from every perspective. And
so it may not be set in Zimbabwe at all?
I'm not sure. It might be set in a few places. You know, right now, the structure of it is not certain. But, I mean, I'm really going to allow my countrymen to stir my creative spirit into what it needs to be. And I'm just not sure right now. I just want to give them voice.
Danai Gurira, thanks so much for speaking with us.
No, thanks for having me.
Playwright Danai Gurira is the author of Eclipsed. It's currently on stage here in Washington. It will also have performances later this fall in Los Angeles and New Haven, Connecticut. And that's our program for today. I'm Jennifer Ludden, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.